Go ahead, let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father God. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time. I pray, Father, that you will just take over this service, Lord. As we know, your holy warring angels and your ministering angels are surrounding us right now. We truly are in the presence of God, and we are standing on holy ground. And I pray, Father, as your words are spoken, I pray it will give us life. If we're feeling a little down, maybe a little depressed, Father, I just pray that as we hear your words, joy will refresh our minds and our hearts. And we know we're going to experience the fullness of your holy presence right now as we just give this time fully surrendered to you. Lord God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, we're praying all this. And everyone says, amen, amen, praise God. Will you take a look at your notes? You know that we're continuing the sermon series called The Christian Atheist. And we're on characteristic 11. And you know, I gotta tell you, next week will be our last one, okay? Because I know we've been going through this series for several months now, but next week will be our last one, all right? And today's sermon is entitled, Never Opened the Free Gift. I'm gonna tell you what that's all about. But once again, we know a Christian atheist is defined as someone who calls himself a Christian, but has very or little evidence of God actually being present in his or her life. So with this next characteristic, this person may say he's a Christian, but he may wonder if Jesus really saved him. And it's probably because, guess what? He never opened the free gift from God. I want to talk about what that is in just a minute. You know, I got to tell you, just the other day, I had the pleasure of talking with someone who is of Catholic faith. And I asked him this simple question. If you were to die tomorrow from an accident or whatever it may be, would you have great certainty that you would be with Jesus? How would you answer this? Of course you would say, yes, I know this. For sure, I would be with Jesus. Well, he answered me, well, Ben, I got to tell you, no one can guarantee that, even if you believe in God. And I know he's a devout Catholic, but yet he can tell me he's not sure or probably not. Can you imagine this? He then gives me many reasons why this is so according to his Catholic faith. And we're going to discuss some of these things later in the sermon. But I want you to look at Romans 6:23. I want you to read that scripture with me. It's in your notes. Ready? Go. For the wages of sin is what? It's death. But the free gift of God is what? Eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so we know, right? This free gift from God is what? It's eternal life for the believer. And we will experience this for sure, right? When we're standing face to face with Jesus, we will know, yeah, I'm spending eternity with my God. But I got to tell you, sadly, many Christians do not know that you can open up this gift, you know when? Right away. As soon as you invited Jesus into your heart, guess what? You know for a fact that you're going to have eternity, because eternity starts for you right there and then. It's when you ask Jesus to come on into your heart. So what does it exactly mean for someone to have actually opened up this gift, this free gift that God talks about? Well, it simply means to have, everyone say this, the blessed assurance. Blessed assurance that you are guaranteed entrance into the kingdom of heaven if you were to pass away from this earth. I know some people say, oh, how come you gotta talk about death and passing away? Well, we know for the Christian, right, we know death has lost its sting. Can I hear amen to that? Because we're gonna spend eternity with God. That's what we gotta realize, that we have an eternity with our Father God. I want you to look at Hebrews 11:1. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is a certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. Do you have this blessed assurance? Do you have this certainty that if something were to happen to you, because we don't know, right? We can go out there. I'm just saying, right? We know that we have this blessed assurance. I'm going to be with Jesus. It means that you absolutely have no doubt about where you're going, because you are at peace and you have this total acceptance of your final destination. Because guess what? we're not home yet. Our eternal home is with Jesus Christ. And when your gift has not yet been opened, because it should be open, right? If it's not been opened, you may say you believe in God and what his son Jesus had done for you, but it's still questionable. Questionable whether or not you are really saved. And there are a lot of Christians, you know, I ask, you know, right? You're saved, right? Maybe, I guess. No, don't answer like this. You got to have the blessed assurance to say yes, because according to scriptures, I know I am saved. And here's the thing. When you haven't opened the gift is still inside the box, so to speak, right? So you can't enjoy what we know as perfect assurance of eternal life. Because you don't have this perfect assurance, you're still going to walk around wondering, am I saved or not? And you got to have this perfect, blessed assurance with no doubt, I know I belong to Jesus. Not when I get to heaven, right now. Amen? So here's the question. How is it possible that a Christian believer has not opened God's free gift of salvation? Well, look at number one. It says there, they still believe they have to earn or work towards their salvation. And oftentimes, right, it could be the case in which the new believer never really got to understand what the word salvation means, and they only have a general understanding of what it means to be saved. Sometimes you ask a new believer, so you know what it means that you are saved? And sometimes, saved from evil? Sometimes they don't understand. We got to explain to them what it means for a fact that you are saved, that you have salvation from the Lord. He came to your rescue. He did what he did on the cross. He took on the weight of the sins of the world so that you can be free. So once again, you are once again reconciled with Father God. Because guess what? The world generally believes that, guess what they believe? They believe that only good people will go to heaven. It doesn't really matter whether you believe in God or not. You ask someone who doesn't believe in God, this is what they may tell you. As long as you're a good person, you live a good life, you're going to heaven. Is that what we believe as Christians? Is that what the scriptures say? Well, we know that's not what the Bible tells us. Yet the new believer may continue to hold this as truth, and they go through their whole lives trying to earn their salvation. I'm going to tell you, this is what also a person of Catholic faith will believe. You got to earn your salvation. I want you to look what it says here in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. Read that with me. Ready? Go. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of what? Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Okay, I want you to really catch that. He saved us not because of what? Not because of the works we've done for him. Because of what? His mercy, his love, his grace. But let me ask you something. Is it important that we do good works unto God? Righteous works, all in the name of Jesus. Yes, it is. But, you know, don't do all these things because you think this is the only way you're going to get a ticket into heaven. Because some people believe, if I don't do anything for God, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to have the ticket to enter in. I said, no, you're saved by grace. You're saved by mercy. You must have this assurance deep in your heart and soul. You got to say it with total heart. Yes, I am saved. I am saved by Jesus. I want you to read with me what it says here in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Ready? Go. God saved you by his grace when what? When? When you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a what? It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I want you to understand that it shouldn't be that you feel forced to do good works for God because you think that God will not accept you into heaven if you didn't do any righteous works for him. You got to remember the scripture says that we are created anew in Christ. You became a new creation in Christ when you said yes to him. And guess what? When you know that Jesus is in your heart, you're going to have this great desire to serve him, not because you have to, but because you want to, because you love to, because you know he's your Papa God. It's not like, okay, I got to serve him now because if I don't, I'm in trouble. No, don't think like that. But the fact is, you're going to show to him how much you love him by the actions, by the things you're willing to do for him, what he's called you to do. Because here's the thing you got to understand. Without you accepting Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, you're not going to be able to carry out the plans that God has for you in your life. All the great works that he wants you to do, if you never accepted Jesus into your heart, you're going to have a hard time, you know, fulfilling these plans. It's the fact that you said yes to him. He's going to give you assignments. He's going to give you great and mighty things to do for his kingdom. And it doesn't matter what it is. You know, as long as you know that God has put it in your heart to do it, you're going to do it with fullness of joy, fullness of desire to give of your very best unto him. And I got to tell you, if you don't do the work of God with your heart, you just do it because, oh, you feel you got to do it or you're obligated to it. You know, God, he's not going to really be pleased with that. I got to tell you about this incident that happened in 1878. It's when William Booth's Salvation Army was beginning to make its mark. And men and women from all over the world began to enlist in the Salvation Army. And one man who had a dream of becoming a church bishop, he crossed the Atlantic from America to England to enlist in the Salvation Army. And his name was Samuel Brengo. And he left a fine pastoral position to join Booth's army. But at first, General Booth, right, he didn't accept his services wholeheartedly. And, you know, General Booth, he said to Brengo, you know, you've been your own boss too long. And in order to instill humility into Brengo, you know what he did? He set him to work cleaning the boots of the other trainees. He's expecting, I'm going to be a just great leader. I'm going to be a bishop of the church. But he says, no, I want you to go and clean these people's boots and make them shine. And, you know, Brengo, he got really discouraged. And he said to himself, have I traveled across the Atlantic to clean black boots? And then, you know what? Instantly, God gave him this vision. You know what his vision was? He saw Jesus kneeling and bending over the feet of this group of men. And then he whispered softly, Lord, you wash their feet. Yes, I will blacken their shoes. And you got to understand, God will give you this desire that is deep in your heart to serve him. It's not about you saying, okay, I have to do it. No, you're going to have such a great desire because out of your heart, abundance of your heart, there is great love to serve your brothers and sisters. Amen? That's what God is looking for. You know you're doing it out of the abundance of love that is in your heart. Amen? I want you to look at point number two now. It says here, they believe they are not worthy to be saved and believe that a person needs to attain perfection in order to enter into heaven. Okay? And that's what you'll hear, right? I'm not worthy. I don't know. I believe in God, but I'm not sure. I'm not worthy to be saved. You don't know my past, Pastor. You don't know what I've done. And, you know, and they may say, oh, but, you know, it takes someone, you know, close to perfection or actually perfect in order for them to get into heaven. Well, I wanted to tell you, first of all, you know, with point number one, what we just discussed, right? It has to do with the Christian atheist believing that it is what he does on his own that will get him into heaven, right? And this second point, the Christian atheist believes it is who he has become based upon his own efforts, right, that will get him in. It's for the person who says, I'm going to really work hard to become a good person. A good person. A person who's almost perfect. Guaranteed I'm going to get into heaven. Well, is that good enough just to be a good person? Well, let's look at what it says here in Romans 5, 15 through 17. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift, which is Jesus, right? For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to man, to many. We're talking about Adam and Eve, right? Okay, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. I want you to get this. God's free gift leads to our being made right with God. It's not based upon what you do. You can say, from now on, I'm going to be on my best behavior. I'm going to do only what is good according to what the world sees as good. No, that's still not good enough for you to get in heaven. I want you to understand this, you know, because based on the discussion I had with the person I mentioned earlier, he said that he thought only holy people like priests and pastors can ever actually make it into heaven. They said it should be that they don't have any hard time. God's going to say, oh, come here, I know you, right? That's what he believes. He said to me then, Ben, just like you, you're perfect in the eyes of God, so maybe you, but not someone like me. This is what he said. I then said, you know, if you talk to my wife, Jonna Lee, I can assure you she will know and tell you by no means I am perfect in any way. Because guess what? Nobody's perfect. Who is perfect? Only God is. And all humankind, doesn't matter who you are, you can be the most saintly person on this planet Earth. At least you may think you are. Or you may think someone else is, but you know what? In the eyes of God, this person needs Jesus because of his sins, because of the very fact you know he's of flesh. And the only way we can come pure, holy, and cleansed before the Lord is the very fact we must accept Jesus into our hearts. Amen? That's the only way. I want you to look at Isaiah 64, 5 to 6. Let's read what it says there. Ready? Go. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you are very angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. You know, I got to tell you, this is how one pastor explains it, because you kind of look at that and go, what? Our righteous acts are like filthy rags? What does that mean? Okay, well, one pastor explains it this way. Let's say, right, you and your family and one of your best friends have decided to go camping, but you forgot to bring a container for water. So on your way to the campsite, your friend sees a container in a ditch. He stops and picks it up, and he notices that it has a skull and crossbones on the outside of the container. And it says poison on it. But he noticed there's a little poison left on the bottom of the container, so he just kind of turns it upside down, and he dumps the liquid out, the poisonous liquid out, right? And so when you get to the campsite, he goes over to an area that has pure filtered water, and he fills the container with water, okay? Let me ask you something. Would you and your family be willing to drink out of that container? He poured out the poison, right? He didn't wash it though, but he poured out the poison and he filled it with water. Would you drink it? Well, of course you wouldn't, right? Because if the container is contaminated, so is the water. I want you to understand, God can never accept the righteousness that comes out of the human heart. No matter how good it looks outwardly, he won't. Because you know why? Because he knows you need his son Jesus. This is the only way that your heart can be purified. And God sees that the container it came out of, it's defiled. No matter how many good works we try to offer to God, it can never offset the aggravation and the filthiness of sin. It won't. The only way you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart. I want you to understand this. The only thing that can offset the aggravation of sin is the death of Jesus Christ. The fact that you believe that he suffered and died for your sins. Because at the cross, Jesus became that sacrifice for our sins. And God offers the salvation to anyone that will come to him in repentance and in faith. Because we know Jesus, he rose again. On the third day, he rose again and he defeated death. And because he did, he's alive. He's alive in you, he's alive in me, because we asked him to come on in. Come on in, and we are washed clean because of the fact we know Jesus resides in our hearts. I want you to look what it says here in Romans 10, 3 to 4. Read it with me. Ready? Go. For they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting it right with God by trying to keep the law. For Christ has already accomplished a purpose for which the law was given. And as a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. You must believe in him. You must believe what he did for you on the cross. That is the way that you are made right with God. Don't ever think it's through your own human efforts that you can be made right with God, because it doesn't matter what you do. You know, you could say, oh, I'm just going to kneel on my knees for 1 week, and I'm not going to eat much of anything. I'm just going to drink a lot of water. I'm going to do all this just for God. It don't matter. The question is, do you believe in his son Jesus? Have you accepted him as Lord and Savior? This is what is the greatest of importance. Because sometimes, you know, I got to tell you, I hear a Christian, you know, they will say, but Pastor Ben, I don't sin anymore because when I became a Christian, I became sinless. I actually heard people tell me this. I became sinless. Where does the Bible say that you can become sinless, right? Because they will actually believe that they are perfect, okay? And that if they have problems, they will blame everyone else except who? Themselves. I'm perfect. Right? You're not. So if I get problems in my life, because you brought them on in my life. And that is not the way God wants us to think. Because, yeah, we know we are sinners, but we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I want you to look what it says here in 1 John 1, 8 through 9. Read that with me. Ready? Go. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Okay, does it say anything about the fact that we are perfect, that we are sinless? No, it says if you claim to be without sin, you don't know the truth, right? You deceived yourself because the devil's right there deceiving you. But what's the key thing that we must do with our sins? We must confess of them. We got to repent and we must confess of our sins. And it tells us that God is going to be faithful and just all the time. Doesn't matter what sin you commit. You can say it's big, it's small, it don't matter. He will forgive you of your sins. And what does he do after he forgives you? He's going to purify you. He's going to make you white as snow. It's just like you had not sinned with that particular sin. It's when you confess and you say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. I want to make it right with you. And this is what God wants to hear from us. And so when we confess our sins to God with a true heart of repentance, we are cleansed and we are looked upon God as pure and holy. We are white as snow once again. Because why? Because you confess. Because you said, Lord, I'm sorry. But then I got to tell you, you know, then my friend mentions about a place called Purgatory. You guys heard of that? You know, for people of Catholic faith, they believe in a place called Purgatory. And he learned it as a Catholic believer that it is where the spirits of the dead, you know, this is where spirits of dead people go and suffer for the evil acts that they did while they were still alive. You guys heard about Purgatory, right? And, you know, he believes all must go there before they can enter into heaven, okay? And so Purgatory is like a holding place in which, you know, other Catholic believers must pray for the atonement of the dead people's sins so that they will eventually become purified and then allowed to go into heaven. Okay, I want you to understand. I'm not trying to, you know, bring down the Catholic faith or anything. I know some Catholic brothers and sisters who really love Jesus, let me tell you. And I know their heart belongs to God. But, you know, these are some of the things we got to look into and ask ourselves, is this according to what the Scripture teaches us as truth? Because if it doesn't, I had to tell this Catholic person, I said, you know, I love you, brother, and we got to look in the Word of God to see what is truth. Because if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you can't accept it. Because if it is something that is totally man-made, something that was totally thought up from man, you know, it's not going to be something that will be acceptable to God. I want you to understand, it has to be something that you know it's according, it lines up with the Word of God. So I told him, I assured him that the Bible makes no mention of such a place called purgatory. It actually originated with the Greek and pagan philosophy, okay? I'm talking about purgatory, right? In particular, the philosopher Plato. And it was introduced into the church through this philosopher named Origen in the 3rd century, who is considered to be a heretic by the Roman Catholic Church. Try to understand that. They considered this man to be a heretic, yet they still accepted this particular teaching that he had. I want you to understand, right, to have the perfect assurance, you know, that you truly believe, you know, in Jesus Christ, you must know for a fact, right? When you have this blessed assurance, if you were to pass from this planet Earth, you're going to go straight into the presence of Jesus. And it's when we take our last and final breath on this planet Earth. Will every one of us take our last and final breath on this planet? Yeah, everyone. No one is excluded in this. But the fact is, you know, you're going to be straight into the presence of God. How do we know this? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us this. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. Ready? Go. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things while in the body, whether good or bad. Okay, so he tells us, right? He prefers to be away from the body and home with the Lord. And so what does it mean to be away from your body? We're talking about our spirit and soul. That's the true makeup of who we are, our soul and our spirit. Because we're made out of body, soul, and spirit. And so when we know we're away from this body, this is a shell. You got a shell, right? And the fact is, right, when we die, our real self, our spirit and our soul, straight to Jesus. That's all you need to be concerned about, because some people say, is that heaven? You know, well, the thing is, right, where Jesus is, hey, that's where I want to be. That's all I'm concerned about. If I'm with Jesus, I know I'm taken care of. Amen? And so that should be your primary concern. You know you're with Jesus, and that's why he says you make it your goal to please him, whether you're at home in the body or you're away from it. Because if we're home in the body, that means we're still here. Right, we're here on this planet Earth. But if we're away from the body, it means you're with God. And you have this blessed assurance, amen? That I got to tell you, you got to get used to saying yes. If someone asks you, guarantee you're going to be saved if you were to die, you got to say yes. Don't ever say, I guess, I think so. No, don't say it like that. Say yes, because the Bible says that I'll be forever with Christ. I want you to look at point number 3 now. It says they have somehow allowed other false teachings about salvation to enter into their minds and hearts with acceptance as truth. And we know in these last days, because these are the last days, right? There's going to be many false teachers that's going to teach wrong doctrine. And I got to tell you, you know what one of the biggest things? Salvation. There's going to be many more, I got to tell you, false teachings about salvation as we continue to live on in this planet Earth. Because guess what? Does the devil want us to spend eternity with God? No. You know, I got to tell you, one of the biggest assignments for all these demon spirits is trying to deceive you and trying to get you to believe in things that are not truth so that your eternity will be affected. I mean, their assignments are to try to get you far, far away from Father God. Yes, even to the point where when you will know that you are no longer here on this planet Earth, that they're hoping that you're not going to be with Father God. No, they want you in that other place. That other place where we know it's the lake of fire, the eternal lake of fire. That's where they want you to be, because guess what? Do they think they know for a fact that they're going there? Yes. And so they're going to try to bring every human soul along with them. So they're going to work hard. And what can they do? They're going to try to instill in your mind and heart, in your heart, what is not the truth. Don't believe it. Always lining up with the Word of God. Doesn't matter. You listen to it on radio. You see it on the TV. You see it on the internet. Don't go, okay, I think this is a reputable church, or this is a reputable teacher. Oh, because he said it, I'm going to believe it. No. I'm going to tell you. Even with me, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter who it is. Always line it up with the Word of God. Take what you just heard, because maybe it's something that is new, something you never heard. It's a new teaching. Don't go, okay, Pastor Ben said it, so it must be right. Okay, well, thank you for believing in me. But I still want you to line it up with the Word of God. If it's kind of like, I don't know, line up with the Word of God and come talk to me about it, okay? Because that's how it's got to be done. Because the fact is, yeah, there are a lot of false teachings out there. We just got to make sure it lines up with the Word of God. I want you to look what it says here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from what? Human thinking and from the, what does it say there? Spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Got to realize this, okay, that many of these false teachings come from who? What does it say there? The devil. It says that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world. We're talking demon spirits. That's what the scripture is saying. And I got to tell you, these false teachers, I'm sure they're hearing from these demonic spirits, you know, what they should say. Because guess what? They're, like I said, they're trying to get you away from God. And these demon spirits are using people who are willing to speak what is of falsity so that, guess what? The Christian church will start to embrace what is not the truth. We got to be careful of this. Always go back to the Word of God. Always be willing to do your own homework and ask the Holy Spirit if you should receive it or not. I want you to look at what it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. And I got to tell you, and when I read this scripture, I just kind of realized that as human beings, right, sometimes we only want the easy way out. Come on, we're going to be honest, right? It's just like we want to do things sometimes with the least effort possible. Because you figure, oh, I'm tired. I work hard. And, you know, I just want to come home. If I got to do something for my wife, I'm going to put in the least effort, right? And sometimes it is even with our own Christian faith. You know we have a ministry to do. I'm tired. I'm just going to give my least amount of work possible because I'm going to get more tired if I do this, right? And so, but you know what? God wants us to give our very best. Amen? To him at all times. Ask him for strength, and he will give you the strength. Put your all into God when you know that you're serving him. And I want you to look what it says here in Jude, verse 4. Okay, let's read it together. Ready? Go. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. And in this, right, Jude, he's talking about the fact that there are people that have come into the church and say, you know what? With God's grace, you are saved. He said, you don't deserve this. You don't deserve salvation. But because God loves you so much, guess what? You know you're saved. But you know what else? God loves you so much, you can do whatever you want. Whatever your heart's desire. Because, yeah, you can engage in sin. And it's okay with God because God loves you. And so they will teach, right? Once you accepted Christ into your life and you say you believe in him with all of your heart, you know, you just live the life that makes you happy. And they will tell you, you know, as long as you are happy, Papa God is happy too. So just go have a blast. Go and drink with your buddies. Go and have a good time. Because God, he loves you. He's not going to say anything. Let me ask you this. Is this according to the word of God? Absolutely not. All right. Well, let's read it together. Come on. You know, I can say it, right? But I got to make sure I back it up with scripture. Okay, here's the backup scripture. Let's read it in Ephesians 5:5-7. Ready? Go. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all those who disobey him. Don't participate in the things that these people do. Wow. Don't be fooled, the Apostle Paul says. Person who lives an immoral life. I mean, just have no conscience about it. They say they're a Christian, but they continue to live in an impure, unholy life. You know, Paul says, don't be fooled by them. Because I got to tell you know, in our modern society, we have similar teachings that are creeping into our churches. And sometimes it's just like little by little, just like little traces of these kinds of teachings. And suddenly, this church, you can see they're falling apart because they're not embracing the truth of the word of God anymore. And you know what it's called? It's the teaching of what we call universalism. You guys heard of that? And actually, this one movie was very popular. I think you know which one. I talked about it before. This one movie where it embraced the teaching of universalism. It's supposed to be a Christian movie. But universalism is a doctrine that teaches that all people will be saved. All people, okay? And other names for this doctrine are like universal restoration, universal reconciliation, universal restitution, and universal salvation. Okay, you hear these things. This is not according to the word of God. I'm going to tell you straight up. It's not the truth, okay? They teach that because God is an all-loving God, he will not condemn anybody to hell. In other words, nobody's going to hell. Really? He's just saying, oh, I'm just the demon spirits. At first, right, you may think, hey, that sounds pretty good, right? And it may sound true to you when you first hear it, but you know what? This teaching is flawed. Because look in your notes. Look what it says here in 2 Peter 3:9. Read it with me. Ready? Go. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is what? He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to what? To repentance. He doesn't condemn anyone to hell, but you got to understand, it's a choice that we must make. Why did he send his son Jesus to die for us on the cross? If this is really true, right, that everyone's going to heaven, why did Jesus do what he did then? Why did he have to come in the form of a human baby child? And eventually, he would have to suffer and die a grueling death on the cross for your sins and my sins. It doesn't make sense. And we know this is what they will teach, right? And Jesus, he taught that those who reject him as Savior, he tells them, yeah, you're going to spend eternity not with the Father. There's multiple scriptures that tell us this. And we got to be willing to say, yes, this is the word of God. I must stand on it. Because when we start to water down the gospel, we start to sugarcoat it, people, their itching ears will be drawn to that. Oh, I don't really have to live a holy and pure life. As long as I'm saved by grace, I'm good. Oh, no, no, no. Don't believe that. You got to make sure your life is a life that is worthy to be called a Christian. What is a Christian? It's a follower of Christ. You follow what Jesus tells you and teaches you to do. Because this is what it says in Revelation 20:15. Look in your notes. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So is it a real place? Hell? Yeah. If we start telling people, nah, don't worry. God will never send anybody to hell. No worry. You know, you're all going to get to heaven. Even though you don't believe in God, even though you live an immoral life, yeah, you're going to make it to heaven. No worry. Well, guess what you think? Well, guess what's going to happen to this person? What do you think this person will do? Oh, sounds good. Let's go grab some drinks and let's go party, because God's going to save us no matter what we do. You know, you live this life, you're deceiving yourself and you're deceiving God. You're trying to deceive God, but God will not be deceived. Because, you know, here's the thing. This doctrine also teaches that there are many ways to get to heaven. We're talking about universalism, okay? They will teach that there are many ways to get to heaven, not only through Jesus Christ. They will teach that Christians and Muslims, they worship the same God. You ever heard of this new group? They're called Chrislam. It's a combination of Christianity and Muslim. No! It's a totally different God. Totally different. You can't mix them up. But yet, Christian pastors, they're starting to look at that and say, yeah, maybe that is acceptable. Maybe that is the truth. No, it isn't. I'll tell you straight up, it's not. It's totally different. It's the personality of their God. No, totally, totally different. Don't even go there. Don't even think that they could be the same. And they will say things like, but all roads, they lead to the same God. Well, the fact is, you're not going to experience God's love. If you say it's all the same God, if you're not truly a born-again Christian that really knows Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to experience the love of Christ. You can say all the roads lead to the same God, but yeah, the same God in the sense that this God will judge you because you never accepted Christ into your heart. You never knew his son. We got to make sure our hearts truly belong to him, because he did what he did because out of pure love for you and for me. I want you to look what it says there in John 14:6. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's only through Jesus Christ. Don't let anyone ever tell you, no, it could be Jesus. Jesus is only one pathway to God. No. Jesus says, I am the only way, the truth, and the life. You want to go to God? It has to be through only Jesus Christ. And finally, this doctrine also teaches that God intends to restore all things to their original state of purity through Jesus Christ. So that in the end, right, this is what they will teach. Everyone I'm talking, whether you're a Christian or not, will be brought into a right relationship with God. And once again, you know, it sounds tempting. It sounds like something you want to believe, because you're thinking, oh, I know I have relatives and friends that have passed on. And you know what? They will come into right relationship with God one day too, through Jesus Christ, even though they may not have believed in Jesus. And we're tempted to want to say, yeah, I want to believe that. But once again, does it line up with the Word of God? And we know it doesn't, right? Because look what it says in Romans 10:9. Read it with me. Ready? Go. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what does it say there? You will be saved. You must have said it with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord. And not only that, you believe in your heart that Jesus, he suffered and he died, but he rose again from the dead. you had to have believed this while you were alive on this planet Earth. This is what the scripture tells us, okay? Because all the other teachings, they're external, right? It's from other teachers that kind of have added on to what the scriptures truly say. You see what I'm trying to say here? Because you kind of want to believe that, right? Because you can think about other people that have passed on. But we still got to stand on the truth, okay? And this is very important that we cannot let go of what is truth. I want you to look what it says here in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. What is his name? What is that name? Jesus. It's a name above all names. You cannot say, oh, it can be something else. It can be this Hindu god. It can be this. And, you know, come on, just lighten up already. We're all one in this world. And we are the world. We are the children. And, you know, I understand we are to be united as human beings. You know, God would want us to do that. But when it concerns our faith in God, we can't let go of it. Amen. We got to stand firmly on the word of God and don't let go of what is truth. Let's look at the bottom line verse now. So, you know, in conclusion, you know, I told the person that I was conversing with that, you know, the very fact I told him, he said, you know what? God loves and longs to be with his children because I know he knows God, but there's some things that he haven't truly understood, especially when it concerns salvation. And I told him, God loves us so much so that he was willing to sacrifice his one and only son, Jesus, so that all of mankind could be once again reconciled with him. Jesus had to do what he had to do so that we be reconnected with the Father. But you know, in response, he still believed that salvation had to be earned and worked for. He said, Ben, you know, you got to understand that this is what I learned since I was a child. I just can't let go of it just like that. But he was willing to listen. He was really wanting to know more. So then the Holy Spirit, you know, gave me the wisdom to explain it this way. I told him because he has a son that I know he loves so much. Yeah. And he says, you know, I told him, just imagine you told your son that you decided that you would make the necessary sacrifices to pay for his entire college education because simply you want him to be a success in his life, that this is what, you know, you desire for him. But then imagine your son saying to you, no, Dad, whatever I need to do, I'm going to work hard all my life to pay you back. I'm going to guarantee it, Dad. I'm going to pay you back, you know. Whatever I got to do, I got to work 3 jobs. I got to pay you back, Dad. And you respond by saying, no, I don't expect you to pay me back anything at all because I love you. And it's already paid in full. How can you pay for something that's already paid in full? I want you to understand, this is how it is when it concerns our gift of salvation from Father God. You know, you can tell God, I gotta pay you back. I gotta earn my salvation. Father God says, how can you do it? It's already what? It's already done. It's paid in full. How can you pay for something that's already paid in full? My son did what he did. I sent my son to do what he did so that it is paid in full. So you must have this blessed assurance. Amen? That you are saved. Can you just say that right now? I am saved. Thank you, Jesus. Rest upon that promise with all of your heart. And the very fact it is already paid in full because of the great sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. We can't earn it. We can't earn it because Jesus paid for it fully with his own life. I want you to read this last scripture. I know you know this scripture. I'm sure you memorize it, John 3:16. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes, just simply believe in him, will not perish but have eternal life. And if you believe in God, you believe what Jesus did for you, you're saved. But if you really believe that, I mean really believe that, you're going to make sure your life will change according to how God wants you to change. that you're going to be transformed into the very image of his son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Because you love him, because you desire him more than anything. I'd like to end by showing you this video. It's a song you guys know. It's called Blessed Assurance. And Benson, can you go ahead and play that, please? Praise God. We have that blessed assurance. You can say, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. And, you know, that's something we can look forward to when we know we're going to be standing face to face before Jesus. Imagine just taking the hand of Jesus as he leads you into the garden filled with such great beauty of flowers and butterflies and all these beautiful animals. Can you imagine just basking in the holy presence of God? This is what we all have to look forward to as Christian believers. I mean, there's no doubt that should be in our minds and in our hearts that we're going to have that. But you know what? It doesn't have to wait until we get to heaven. No, you can experience the presence of God right here, right now in the present. As you just pray, as you seek God, you know the presence of God abounds in your life. Amen? So do you have this blessed assurance? Do you have this free gift? You haven't opened it yet? Hey, open it up right now. Amen? And simply say, I am saved. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? Praise God. I want to go ahead and let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts, let's come before our Father in heaven. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this message. Lord, I thank you, Lord, as you spoke it through me, Father. I know it's all you. And I just pray that my brothers and sisters will truly have this blessed assurance in their lives, Lord, that they will never again doubt that they are saved. Because when they ask Jesus to come into their hearts, Father, Jesus never leaves. The Holy Spirit never leaves. And Father, you will never leave them because your promise is that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you because, child, you are mine. I know that's what you are saying to all of us here right now. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for this promise. And Father, so we know the next time someone can ask us a question like that, are you really saved? We can say, yes, without a doubt, I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed right now, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I realize I had been someone like that, that I know I always hesitated. I always kind of like wondered if I'm really saved or not. But with today's message, I know I can have this blessed assurance. And I want to ask Father God that this blessed assurance will just come upon me fully, that there'll be no doubt anymore, that whatever the devil will try to do to bring forth doubt into my mind, into my heart, that all the works of the devil will be crushed in Jesus' name. As I have this blessed assurance, I'm going to walk with great victory, knowing that my Jesus, my Lord God, is with me, even now and throughout eternity. And I praise him for his great love and mercy for me. And if this is truly you, you're saying, Lord, forgive me of those times that I doubted you, but I have no doubt anymore. I have this blessed assurance. Can you just raise your hand and say, that's me, so I can pray for you. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. You can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands. Father, will you give my brothers and sisters this blessed assurance that they will no longer doubt whether they are saved or not, that they will know it with such great zeal, such great excitement, knowing that you are present in their lives for now and forevermore. Father, we just want to tell you how much we love you and how much we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray all of these things. And all my brothers and sisters say together, Amen.